We're going to be talking about the Champion's Creed today. We're going to be looking at this series for a few weeks, I think. It's going to kind of premise from the concept of faith, of what it takes to overcome. Now, as we go through life, not all things are going to go as expected all the time. Have we figured that part out already? I don't know if you've ever had a plan and then the plan didn't kind of work out, but, you know, sometimes what we're going to have to do is just faith it. You know what I mean? We just got to faith it and keep on going. You know, we need to be ready to fight the good fight of faith. And, you know, we fight the good fight of faith with faith in God. It's not faith in our faith. It's faith in God. And that's how important it is to have a good relationship with God. So I can do it because it is God who is working in me. And faith is the only currency that works in the kingdom of God. You can beg and plead and all those things. Those don't really work, but you have to have faith. You know, it's the only way that we can really make a transaction in the kingdom of God. God always honors faith. And so love is important, and faith is the key, and faith works best by love. So we got to have that love in there, right? We've got to walk in love. And so as we start this off, we're looking about how I can. Now, maybe you have lived a while and due to situations and circumstances, you primarily say, I can't. You know, maybe you've been in a cycle or a situation where you find out that, you know, maybe through a series of letdowns, you know what I mean? We all get let down from time to time. And so now your glasses that you have on is I can't glasses, you know what I mean? When you see a situation come up, it's kind of like, I can't. But I want to try to turn that around today for us to see that I can. You know, I can. We're going to start off in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 5 and 6. And Hebrews 11 is a chapter on faith. And you ought to read it every now and then just for inspiration. It kind of tells us about the fathers of faith, I guess, in some way, where they had to face certain things. Now, our name's never going to be written in the Bible. The Bible's been written, right? So we're not going to have that. But, you know, we can, you know, I guess in our own little world, we can be a claim to somebody that really believes in God and is following him by faith. And we can be an inspiration to others around us, okay? So it says here in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 5 and 6, it says, by faith Enoch was taken up so that he would not see death. And he was not found because God took him up. For he obtained the witness that before his being taken up, he was pleasing to God. And without faith, it is impossible to please him, meaning God. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those that seek him. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you for unction today. I thank you for a special stirring of our hearts, Lord, that we want to draw nigh to you. Because when we draw nigh to you, the promise is that you will draw nigh to us. Lord, I thank you that we have been called to be champions, overcomers, more than even overcomers, Lord, by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. And Lord, we thank you so much for this opportunity today to come to you and to be able to receive instruction. And we give the Holy Spirit free rein to move in our midst today. Lord, stir up the gift inside of me. Use it for your glory. And Lord, we pray for words of both pierce and penetrate, and the gift of the Spirit to be in operation in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so Enoch, there's two people in the Bible that we know that never tasted death. Enoch and Elijah. And God took them up for whatever reason. Now we know that Enoch's faith here was pleasing to God. So evidently that his faith brought him into such a relationship with God that it was able to transcend what we normally think. And so it's just amazing as you see how this puts together. And like I said, he didn't taste death. So we don't know what his what's going on with him up in heaven. We'll have to wait till we get there, right? See what happens, you know, see what that's all about. So what happened was, though, that we know is that Enoch had an extremely close communion with God. He had that kind of relationship, you know what I'm saying? And it's probably the kind of relationship that you and I probably would like to have. Yeah, I hope we do. You know, we'd like to get closer to God. Now, I don't know, I can't guarantee we're going to be taken up and not taste death, but we do know that there's a rapture coming one of these days, amen? And I'd like to go on the first wave, you know what I'm saying? You know, I don't want to wait. But anyway, so what I feel from this is the fact that God seemed more real to Enoch than the world he was living in. And that is a statement in itself. His relationship with God, and that God seemed more real. And I know that it's a process of learning. As you and I go through life and the things that we experience a lot of life, a lot of different things. A lot of different things are coming at us from time to time. And so it all depends on how much do we bring our Heavenly Father and our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, and the witness of the Holy Spirit in our day-to-day walk. And so, I don't know about you, but as you grow sometimes in things of God, this is what I came to the conclusion years ago. I know too much to turn back now. You know what I mean? I remember what it was like starting out, those little nagging doubts. You know, those things in our life that, you know, for me, you know, pursuing God and, you know, maybe walking away from a few things in this world and, you know, believing that God called me into ministry and things like that. And, you know, and every now and then I'd look and I'd say, man, have I went too far on this God thing? You know what I mean? If I put all my eggs in this basket, you know, and how about there's another basket? No, I know there's not. But your flesh, you get that doubt, little things coming in. And then finally I come to the realization as I know the reality of Jesus Christ in my life and what it is that he came to do. And from Genesis to Revelation, how this book ties together and it forms a picture of what God did to bring redemption to mankind. Like I said, I know too much to turn back now. Too much. Because God is real. He is real. And he has a lot of great things that he wants to do. Now, what I found out with faith is sometimes our mouth needs to line up. So the faith walk begins with faith talk. You know, we have to check out what's coming out of our mouth. I mean, are we a Debbie Downer and speaking negative things all the time? Are we talking against our miracle? You know what I'm saying? And on all these things. So we sometimes need to, when I say faith it, sometimes you gotta, you know, speak what God says, even in the face of negative circumstances. Even though things are not looking the way that you think they ought to look. And maybe you've been at this for a little while and it's just hard. So what it says there in the scripture, it says that we must believe that he is. Notice the we part. No one else can believe it for you. Now, as a parent of children, you know, yeah, I try to lead them into faith and I try to encourage them. And I have a lot of spiritual children under my care. But, you know, the concept of what it means is that I can't live it for them. I try to encourage them and I try to encourage you. But we all must grab a hold of this thing on our own. Because we do not stand as a group before God. We stand individually before God. And it's important that we don't rest on somebody else's faith. You know, back, you know, as I've said before, you know, when I used to do street evangelism, when I first started out with Jesus, you know, I didn't know you wasn't supposed to go tell people about Jesus. I just thought that's what you're supposed to do. You know, I had to find that out later in church. You ain't supposed to do that. But anyway, I'm kidding. I was being sarcastic. But, you know, I would go out there and yeah, I would talk to kids on the street and a lot of them say, yeah, my grandma, she was quite a Christian. You know, she's very spiritual. Oh, no, they wouldn't say the word spiritual. They would say she's very religious. You know, and we don't know. Religious can go either way. You know, either she's got a lot of faith in her church or she's got a lot of faith in Jesus Christ. You know, and one's more important than the other. But, you know, and I says, you know, I says, God doesn't have any grandchildren. God only has children. We each have to come to Him and connect with Him. You know, we need to come to the point that we believe that He is more real to us than the things that we can see and touch. And I know that's hard. This is one of those messages that try to get us to expand our thinking, to expand our faith a little bit. You know, we just got to get up to that point that, you know, I know that, you know, the sense world, the carnal world is more, it's around us. We can see it, we can feel it, and we experience it. But somehow we got to break that chain, that bondage that's holding us back. And, you know, we need to see ourselves as an eagle, and we need to fly. You know, we walk around like chickens, clucking, scratching in the dirt, hoping for scraps, instead of spreading our wings and soaring with the winds of the Spirit carrying us to greater glory. Amen? That's what we need to do. We need to get to that point in our life that we can break through and to be able to see that. So, how real is God to us in our everyday walk? How real is He? Is it the reality that we want? See, the Bible says there that God is a rewarder of those who seek Him. Now notice the word seek. Now, has anybody ever looked for stuff? You know what I mean? I think we've all looked for stuff. You know, somebody misplaces our car keys on us. You know what I'm saying? Things like that. But this word seek, and you know, sometimes when we look for stuff, I don't expect to find it. I'll be honest. And that's a problem, because the word seek here means search diligently or seek in order to obtain. And it's just not just look for, but look for in order to obtain. To me, it's the idea of seeking with purpose. Now, I know that sometimes when I look for stuff, I just sometimes come to the realization that I'm just going to look for it. I'm not never going to find this. You know, I've looked for it before. I've never found it. You know, I just through life and, you know, stuff, you know, in our house and, you know, stuff that we had. And you live a long time. Have you ever? I don't want to tell that story. I'm going to tell it. I looked at something the other day, and it's been sitting there for 15 years. One time, we had a water jug setting right in this little spot that my kids used to use when they went to soccer practice. They'd been out of school for 15 years. But it was just handy. It was a handy spot. And we didn't have to go looking for it. We knew where it was. But see, sometimes in life, you know, especially when it comes to God, I believe that sometimes due to the fact that as we go through life, and we know that sometimes there's a waiting point when we ask God for something big, and sometimes till we finally see it materialize, that sometimes we get to the place we're not seeking Him to actually find it. We're just seeking Him because we know we're supposed to. And we've given up on the obtaining it part. And I think we need to re-energize our seeker. You know what I'm saying? Because sometimes our seeker gets broke, you know, due to discouragement and things that's happened in life. And so we need to bring that to life again so that when we seek God, we're really wanting this miracle. We're really wanting to obtain it and see that everything is going to happen, because we just don't want to stay in that seeking pattern. You know, always seek and never find Him. We want to get past that. We have to remember that faith has a reward when our faith is in the rewarder. And it's not wrong to seek reward. A lot of times we think humility is important. I believe in humility. We need to be humble. But, you know, God wouldn't say that He's a rewarder if He was not a rewarder. And so it's okay to seek reward. It's what we do with the reward. Right? It's what we do with the reward when we get it. Do we hoard it or do we share it? If it's financial reward. Or do we try to bring others along and teach them how to seek and find reward, so that we get there together and not just get there alone. So everybody looks at us, oh, look at them, they're so spiritual. No. Bring as many people along in the journey as you can. You know, put your arm around them. Let's go. Come on, we can do this. You know, it don't have to just be us on top of the pile. Let's bring as many people along. See, I can receive my reward when I believe that God is. And that's what we need to see, that God is. He's a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. Now, the next passage we're going to look at is Mark chapter 9, verse 22 to 24. And it's talking about a father who has had an issue with his son. His son has been, lack of better terminology, his son has demon problems. You know, he's demon possessed. Got some health issues going on there, and it was demon induced. And it says in verse 22 of Mark 9, it says, it has often thrown him both into the fire and into the water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, he's talking to Jesus here, if you can do anything, take pity on us and help us. And Jesus said to him, if you can, all things are possible to him who believes. Immediately the boy's father cried out and said, I do believe, but help my unbelief. So here this demon was destroying this young boy's life, you know, throwing him in the fires, throwing him into the water, you know, just a constant torment. And these things were going on, and the father was frustrated, and the story goes that he brought him to the disciples. Now this demon was deeply enrooted in this boy, and so his tentacles, shall we say, were just in there so tight, and the disciples couldn't cast it out. They cast out other demons. They couldn't handle this one for whatever reason. He was lodged, and it was hard to get him out. And then Jesus, you know, another place said prayer and fasting, stuff like that. You know, you got to sometimes, you know, pull away from the world and really get into the things of God if you want to sometimes see breakthrough. I don't know if you guys ever sought a breakthrough anointing. You know what I'm saying? By a breakthrough anointing. The anointing of God is on you, and you bring breakthrough to people's lives. That's what we need to have. So this boy was having these problems, and the father came to Jesus. I mean, he'd heard the stories. You know what I'm saying? Jesus was going around everywhere and healing the sick, casting out devils. You know, had a reputation. So, you know, people were coming. So I guess the first line of defense is you had to go through the disciples first. And they gave it a shot, and they couldn't do it. So then the father, I don't know about you, but you heard the stories. Then all of a sudden it didn't work. So what did he do? Well, he went to Jesus directly. And he had all this doubt coming up inside of him. Because the ones who followed Jesus the closest had let him down. And so he was discouraged. And he went to Jesus, and who inside of him was absolute power, overcoming faith power, I mean. And he said, if you can. And Jesus said, if I can, I can. I can. And the father said, I have faith, but help my unbelief. And I think that's where we're at sometimes. We would all probably say here today, I have faith, but Lord, help my unbelief. Because we're not there yet. Amen? And that's okay. At least we're heading the right direction. Like I've always said, if you're going to fall, fall forward. Fall towards Jesus. Don't fall away. Fall towards him. You know, when things get a little rough. So, as this, through this desperation and all these things started to come to the surface, you know, he kind of really challenged this situation, the father did, and then finally he come to the point and brought things to a head, and then Jesus started to turn things around. You know, because the fact of the matter is, unbelief is a terrible thing. Unbelief, it limits us. See, faith-limiting thoughts hold us back from our miracles. You and I both know Jesus can, but we doubt that Jesus will. That's a fact. Because we know that he can. We just don't think that he will for us. And that's a faith-limiting belief. And we have to overcome that, because that'll hold us back. So these faith-limiting thoughts, what they have is when we entertain them, they become faith-limiting beliefs. So that's why it's so important that we govern our thought life. I mean, we all know thoughts pop into our head every now and then, right? Have you ever had a thought pop into your head? You just kind of, where'd that come from? You know, well, could have come from the devil, could have come from anywhere. But see, what happens is that if we entertain these faith-limiting thoughts and we let them ruminate in there and we let them ferment a little bit, all of a sudden that faith-limiting thought becomes a faith-limiting belief in our life, and a belief is how we govern our affairs, right? You and I make most of our decision based on what we believe. We do. In whatever that is. You know, some of you believe maybe that a certain car is better than another. That's why you bought it. Some people think that certain food is better than other food. You believe that, and that's why you buy it. You know, whatever the case may be. So all these things kind of come in. So that's why it's important that we work on our thought life so that we get to the place we need to be. So the Father said one of the smartest things you could ever say. And I think we need to say this ourselves sometimes to Jesus. Lord Jesus, help my unbelief. I think that's one of those prayers that Jesus will answer. Amen? I think that's one of those prayers that work. Because I think God is into that. God wants us to live the life of faith and to be able to say I can instead of I can't. So we need to ask God to help us in that. See, we need to believe that God can take our impossibilities and make them possibilities. And to see that breakthrough in our life. To see those things turn around. I mean, I know what it's like. Sometimes you go through some things, you know, and we have to come to the place that Jesus can and we can through him. You know, as I look at some things in my life, you know, there's times and, you know, and some of them lasted several months. And, you know, I just thought, man, this ain't working. You know, this just ain't working. And you get a little discouraged along the way. But I know that if you ride that horse to the end and get to the end of your destination, there's breakthrough coming. Just don't jump off the horse. Even in the face of difficulties, even in the face of, you know, whatever situation, circumstances come your way. Now make sure you're walking in God's will. You know what I'm saying? Don't just go off half-cocked into something. I'm talking about something that lines up with his word. But I'll tell you what, just don't throw in the towel. Just hang in there. Keep on pushing. Keep on fighting. Don't give up. You're going to see breakthroughs coming. And we need to be able to walk in that power and that freedom, you know, that Jesus Christ, you know, came to give us. Last passage I want to look at today is in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 19 and 20. And it talks about, you know, getting strength from God. You know, sometimes, you know, certain times in life, you know, you can really feel it, you know what I mean? You're up, you know, you're into it, you know what I mean? And your faith is strong, glory to God. I can push through, I can press through. But every now and then, sometimes we get to feel a little weak, and that's why we need some help. So Ephesians 1, verse 19 and 20, it says, "And what is the surpassing greatness of his power towards us who believe? These are in accordance with the working of the strength of his might, which he brought about in Christ, when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places." Okay, so resurrection power opened the door for many great things in our life. Just simple as that. That resurrection power came to bring breakthrough. And through that power, we can overcome many of the obstacles. Jesus did so many great things when he went to the cross for us, and then he rose from the dead. Now, there's four different words here in this passage that talks about power, how important it is to have power in our life. The first word is actually translated power, so that's a giveaway. And that's the word dunamis. And that's the word dunamis is where we get the word dynamite. So it's dynamite power. You know, it's a spiritual dynamic living force. It's the dynamic power of God. And you have to think about those things and the fact that when God shows up on the scene and he turns the situation totally around, just changes it. So we got dunamis, which is the dynamic power of God. Okay. Then another word here in the Greek is talking about working. Now that's the Greek word energia. What do you think that word means? Energy, right? So it's talking about divine energy. God gives us divine energy. I think of Elijah being able to outrun the chariot. You know what I'm saying? You just can't outrun a horse. But he did. Divine energy came upon him. And every now and then, you and I need a touch. That energy touch in our life to help us to overcome, to be able to get to the end of the race. Because we know it's not a sprint, is it? It's a marathon. And we need that divine energy working in our life, especially if you're going through a... Has anybody ever done faith projects? You know what I'm saying? A faith project sometimes can take a little bit of time, and it's a long haul. And so we need to have the energy to keep going. The next word they use in this passage is the word strength. And this is talking about kratos. And it's the power that overcomes resistance. Because that's what we have to do sometimes. You're going to experience resistance. Resistance happens anytime you try to do something great for God. And it's that resistance sometimes that, as we know, that will make us stronger. Whenever you go through a hard time and you hold on to the promise and you start believing it, things start to happen inside of us. You know, we start to overcome that resistance. Your faith grows when it's under pressure. And that's how we grow. Now, a lot of people sometimes don't really try to do anything great for God. Whatever it may be, they just want to coast through life. And they wonder why their faith muscles are flabby. You know, but I know this, that as you get older, if you don't use it, you lose it. And it's same like that in the things of faith. You got to use it. And that's going to help it grow. It's going to make it stronger. Resistance makes your faith stronger when you hold on to the promises of God. That's why it's important to get into the Word of God and to find promises that apply to your situation. And in the face of all adversity, all the resistance that comes your way, trying to talk you out of your miracle, you hold on to that promise. And when you do that, you'll get some of these, baby. No, I'm just kidding. No, I think you'd rather have Jimmy's than mine. Huh? Right? I mean, push come to shove. I mean, Jimmy's going to win the weightlifting match. Then the last word is the word might. Now, this word is hard to say. Kratos? I didn't know how to say it. You have to look it up yourself. Just get in your little Greek concordance thing and click on the word might, and it'll pull that word up for you. But it's talking about mental or moral power as an endowment. Okay. See, God could have just done physical stuff, but here he kind of even gave us some mental or moral power. Because it's just amazing how all-encompassing it is that God wants to help us and to be strong enough to be able to overcome the things of this world. He knew that the battle would be in our mind. He knew that we're going to be tested and tempted in life and in different things, and he'll give us that moral power to say no. Amen. Because sometimes you just have to say no. And to be able to see things come. You know, Samson had problems. He didn't yield to this right here. He played right on the edge, didn't he? You know, he knew his weakness was the ladies, but he played right on the edge. And we know it cost him dearly. Now, he was able to bounce back at the end, and he killed more Philistines in his death than he did his life, but nevertheless, he had to die to do it. Because he played real close to the edge. You know, we have to be smart enough to stay away from the things that lead us astray. The things that are not good for us, that are not spiritually healthy for us. Right? We need to do that to overcome. See, with all these words of power, working, strength, and might, there never needs to be a power shortage in the life of a true believer. And I say true believer. You got your basic believers that just go through the motions, you know what I mean? Que sera, sera's, you know what I'm saying? Whatever will be, will be. But I'm talking about somebody that really wants to win. You know what I'm saying? Hope you're not tired of winning yet. Amen. We never get tired of winning. So we need to overcome. We need to know that God's power is never limited. It's there. It's like, you know, some of you probably have cordless tools, right? Or cordless something, your battery or your phone. What happens when they go dead? You need a charge, right? You need a touch. You know, you gotta get that thing, you know, back up to strength. And that's why we need to keep continually coming to God to get refilled back up, you know, and to stay engaged and stay in connection with God. And, you know, we don't do it alone. We do it with other believers. And that's why, you know, we try to fellowship together. That's why we try to do, you know, extra Bible studies and things, you know. And that's what Wednesday's, that little bump, you know, to hope, give us another little bump. You know what I'm saying? You know, to help keep our energy levels, our battery levels strong. See, God will give us the power when we believe. And it's talking about the strength of His might. And that's what we have to remember. You know, a lot of times we think we're fighting these battles alone, but if we get to the place where we know that it's God's strength, because to be honest, we cannot beat the devil on our own power. We cannot. I've ran into a lot of spiritual people in my pilgrimage through life, and I've never, ever met one Christian that could ever beat the devil on his own strength. It takes the power of God. And I learned that the hard way. I've told this story before, but after you've been here about 30 years, you kind of run out of stories, you know what I'm saying? So anyway, I digress. In Bible school, I was on fire. I mean, it's like somebody dumped gasoline on me and lit it. And I noticed some people were dropping out of Bible school. And then you'd hear, you know, it wasn't gossip, but they say, oh, they backslid and, you know, different things. And I was going, man, how can somebody turn their back on God? Just didn't understand that. And I knew it was the devil messing with them. I said, okay, devil, mess with me. Never do that. Rookie mistake. I had to repent. God saved me, you know, delivered me from that problem. But I did open my big mouth. I thought I was invincible. But I wasn't. That's why we need God's power. You know, and we need to have, you know, that pure, unadulterated faith, you know, working inside of us. That means pure faith, not mixed with unbelief. Not mixed with all these other little things. And that's why it's so important. There's so much information out there, my friends. And that's why we need to stay with the Bible. You know, the ones that's recognized, the 66 books that we're here to play with. You know, there's other things, you know, there's other options out there, and the internet promotes all these different thoughts. I mean, if you want to read them for your own pleasure, that's fine, but you need to stick with the basics. That's what's going to keep you strong. That's what's going to keep us out of trouble. So our faith needs to be pure and free from wrong thinking. So sometimes we can just believe wrong, and that's why we need to straighten that out. So never forget about the miracle-working power of God. I know as we go through life, it can be kind of out of our grasp sometimes, but never forget about that. And lastly, just say, I can because it is the power of God working through me. That's how we got to see it. I can because of the power of God working through me. If you read those names in Hebrews chapter 11, they did it, so why can't we? That's how I look. That's how I make my decisions sometimes. They did it, so why can't I? I have the same God. I have the same Holy Spirit. I have the same Bible. Matter of fact, I got a better Bible because they never even had a Bible. You know, them guys, when they did it, they were, some of them were just writing the Bible, you know, writing their little things and stuff, and they're, you know, they didn't even have a Bible to go by. They didn't, you know, so I have really more to my advantage than they did. Not to mention, I got, you know, we have Google now, praise God. We can find it. No, I'm just kidding. I find all the scriptures you need. You don't have to really, you know, when I first started out, like I said, we had to use those big, thick concordances, you know, and it took a while. Yeah, I have good eyesight because the print was really small. There's so many scriptures, but now with everything at our disposal, we can actually put a super duper Bible plan together, just scriptures, and just go over them immediately. So we can. We just have to have our faith in God. Amen. All right, let's close in prayer.